This is Emerson Griffin, and you are listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wob.
All right, you know what that sound means. It's time for another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, with producer Chris Corso.
What's up, Bobby?
What's up, man? You happy to be here?
I'm happy to be here, and I'm very excited for our guest this week. We're cooking on the Wobcast.
Yeah, we got something cooking. Today, we have a jam-packed show. We're going to get to some interesting storylines in this Vikings-Buccaneers game. We're going to do the Know Your Enemy segment, fan mail segment, over-under segment, and we have Dalvin Cook. Yes, the Vikings rookie running back joined us for a short conversation earlier in the week. We're going to bring that to you, but first, it's week three. Crazy factoid this week, Chris.
What's that?
9 home underdogs.
Wow.
In the NFL this week, and a 10th home team that's in a pick'em contest. So 10 home teams not favored in their games, including every home team in prime time. The Niners, they host the LA Rams on Thursday night. The Redskins host the Raiders on Sunday night, and Dallas is at Arizona on Monday night. All of those home teams, underdogs, and the Vikings are home underdogs. 3 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That will make for an exciting weekend of football, and we can't wait to watch it. We also can't wait for today's guest, so we're not going to wait any longer. We're going to bring him in right now. It's Dalvin Cook. Awesome debut for the Vikings, Chris, on Monday night against the Saints.
That's right. He's coming off of a Vikings franchise rookie debut record with 127 yards that he had at US Bank Stadium against the New Orleans Saints in the victory that we had in week one. So I'm ready to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, he also ran hard against the Steelers. He's at over 5.5 yards per carry through two games, off to a sensational start. Hoping he can get into the end zone for his first career touchdown against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team who is quarterbacked by former Dalvin Cook teammate Jameis Winston. So we cornered Dalvin Cook in the Vikings equipment room earlier in the week. He gave some awesome answers to our questions. Here is our conversation with Dalvin Cook.
All right, Dalvin, your first game at US Bank Stadium was a fun one. We won the game. You had over 100 yards rushing. Think back to that night. What was it like, you know, playing in your first game, playing in front of Vikings fans? What do you remember about that night?
One thing I definitely remember is that the environment was definitely set for us to go make plays.
Yeah.
And the fans just made it a memorable moment for me to remember forever. So that's one thing I always remember. You know, the fans came out and set a great environment for us.
I know you're not into a bunch of stats and individual accomplishments, but you did set a team record that night. You know that?
What was the team record?
Most rushing yards in a debut performance, Dalvin Cook. Oh. Way to go, man.
I appreciate it.
I know you don't care about records, but that was a good night for you. You're up, I think it's like 5.5 yards a carry, and you get stronger as the game goes on. And I know you were asked a question about that this week in the locker room. How do you explain that? Is that something you take pride in as an offense, is getting stronger as the game goes on?
Yeah, I always was a person, you know, the defense can't withstand, you know, a great offense for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the game keep going on, and if we keep getting stronger, the defense ain't going to withstand, you know, us being good all game.
Yep.
So it wears the defense down, and, you know, we take pride on that. You know, we could get us a better start, you know. We'll definitely win down there.
All right, Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You were teammates with him for 2 seasons?
One season.
Yep. It was a really good season for you guys. What's it going to be like seeing him?
It's definitely going to be fun seeing them. You know, it's always fun seeing ex-teammates.
Yeah. Man,
it's always fun seeing, you know, guys that want to go out there and compete and have fun. And, you know, you want to go out there and do better than, you know, than them. So it's always going to be a competition. But it's going to be fun seeing them. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, a good game.
He doesn't have to tackle you, though. So that's good for him.
Yeah, but he know.
Yeah, he knows he doesn't want to, and he's not going to have to. But in fairness, you also don't have to go out and cover his receiver. So that's a good thing, too. Because that guy can throw the ball around the yard, can't he?
He definitely can sling the ball around. Jimmy's one of those guys that take a lot of chances. And he just believes. Yeah. In himself, and he just believe in, you know, what he do. So, you know, he make plays, and sometimes he don't. So that's his game.
This Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, what's the key for you guys this week?
Just be us. You know, they're going to come out and run some basic fronts. They not a team of a lot of exotic things. So yeah. We just got to go out there and stick to our rules and, you know, go make plays. And I think we're going to do that. You know, we go out there and fly around.
What are you going to do when you score a touchdown?
I'm going to do the chicken noodle soup.
Okay. I can't wait to see what that is. I'm not cool enough to know what that is right now, so I'm going to have to watch you do it. Then I'll know what it is. What is it?
I'm still learning. It's a dance.
Okay.
I think it's primarily from Miami, but a lot of guys know what it is.
Okay.
It's just like a dance. Like, let it rain. Let it rain.
Okay.
Clear it out.
Is it going to get us a 15-yard penalty?
Nah.
Okay. Then we're good.
It's everything is between. I looked it up. I can't give him my money, so I looked it up. And it's all, you know, between the guidelines.
Two things we don't want to give up: money and 15 yards on the kickoff. Right.
You're right.
All right, man. Have a good week. All right. Good luck Sunday.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
All right, so that was Dalvin Cook inside the Vikings equipment room, right inside the locker room there.
He's the man.
Yeah, he is the man. He was so cool to talk to, listening to the way he talked about his touchdown dance.
Yeah, man.
That might have been the highlight right there.
I want to see two of them.
Yeah, now Vikings fans know what to expect. We thought he had a touchdown against the Steelers. Didn't happen. The play got brought back right to the one-yard line. CJ Ham got that touchdown.
He finished the job.
We finished the job, but... Now we get to see a touchdown dance. We know what's coming, so we're waiting for it.
All right.
We're going to go to our five storylines of the week. Wobby does an article on the website. He highlights five storylines for each game coming up. And now we got the Bucs storylines. And number one is quarterback quandary.
Yes. This is, you know, something that we've had to deal with now for 2 weeks in a row. Don't know who's going to start at quarterback on Sunday. Is it going to be Sam Bradford or Case Keenum? I think this is something we won't know until 90 minutes before kickoff. That is when teams are required to list the players that will be inactive in the game. That is when we will know if Bradford is playing and starting in the game or not. I don't expect to know before then, or expect, I at least don't expect it to be public before then. So I think at the end of the day, the key is we have to play better around the quarterback, whether it's Bradford or Keenum. He's got to be protected. The receiver's got to run the right routes, and we have to be able to run the ball, because if we don't do those things, it doesn't matter if you have Joe Namath back there. It's going to be a rough day against a defense like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Keenum, did some good things against the Steelers, but as a team, the Vikings didn't do enough good things against the Steelers to win the game. But Case was talking with the media earlier in the week, and Chris, you have some sound from that.
That's right. Let's listen to Case and what he had to say.
You know, I don't know. You know, it was good to get out there with those guys. Like I said, new guys, new locker room for me this year, obviously. But, you know, not too much different. It's NFL football, and, you know, it's tough every week. Like I said, we got a great opponent coming in.
Case, what have the coaches told you about how they'll divide up the workload between you and Sam in practice this week?
I haven't heard yet.
Do you have any expectations?
I mean, like I said, you know, I prepare every week like I'm going to play. So if I'm not actually getting the rep, I'm behind working, you know, the same footwork, the same reads, doing the same thing, just, you know, maybe not actually handing it off or throwing it, but, you know, getting those same type of reps that I would be getting.
What percent of the reps did you get last week with Sam's?
You know, I don't know. Like I said, I did, you know, I did in my mind, or, you know, actually getting them, I got all of them. So that's the life.
Physically holding the ball.
You know, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Hey, Case, what was Sam's role during the game last Sunday? Was he offering you any advice specifically, or talking to you during the game at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things I said. I said, whatever you see, let me know, you know, as far as, you know, during the game. And he did a great job looking at the pictures with me, and you know, letting me know what he'd seen, you know, what he, you know, ways to attack different things. So it was good communication on the sideline.
All right, it was good to hear what Case had to say. He's preparing like he's ready to start the game, as well as Bradford. He's also preparing like he's ready to start the game. We know that Sam Bradford was limited in practice so far this week, and we will not know, according to Mike Zimmer, who the starter is until Sunday. So that will be something to look out for. The injury report on Vikings.com will be another thing that fans can look out for as the week goes on. Now we're going to move to the next storyline, and that's, we talked about it with Dalvin. He's going against his former Florida State teammate, and that's Jameis Winston. It's going to be cool to see these guys face off.
Yeah, five former Florida State stars in this game, but the three that are the most notable and recognizable for fans are the Vikings Xavier Rhodes, cornerback, Vikings Dalvin Cook, running back, and of course Jameis Winston, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The one thing I like about this storyline, Chris, is in week one, it was all about Adrian Peterson coming back to Minnesota, and voila, Dalvin Cook stole the show when it comes to running backs and had 127 yards rushing. This week, it's like Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Xavier Rhodes, all that stuff, and I'm hoping Dalvin Cook can upstage his former Florida State stars and steal the show on Sunday and maybe have a couple of touchdowns. That would be super cool.
That would be awesome. That's what we're looking for. Like we said, he's averaging over 5 yards per carry, so we look for him to keep it up in this game and definitely get a heavy load as he goes against his former teammate in Jameis Winston. We're going up to number three, and that's another stout defensive front challenges the Vikings offensive line. We've gone against good defensive fronts in the past two games, especially with the Steelers last week. But this week, this team, Mike Zimmer gave a lot of credit to in his press conference earlier this week. Gerald McCoy, the man in the middle. What do you think about him, Wobby?
Yeah, Gerald McCoy is really good. We had Pete Bursich breaking down film as we do every single week for Vikings game plan. And two of the plays he broke down were big TFLs by Gerald McCoy and William Golston. William Golston is a defensive end, sort of a five technique in the Bucs defense. And Gerald McCoy is a three technique. He's a D tackle who's really, really good. Explosive, powerful, quick, good first steps. Those two guys are monsters. The Vikings faced a stout defensive up front against the Steelers, and it does not get any easier this week against the Buccaneers. The good news is for our offensive line and for our offense as a whole is we're playing at home, so that stout defensive front does not have the advantage of the home crowd on their side. That will help us. Our offensive line looked really good in the last home game against the Saints, hoping they can look just as good against the Buccaneers this week.
Well, speaking of defense, Wobby, we had Xavier Rhodes guarding one of the best in the league last week, and that's Antonio Brown. We actually have sound from that game on the website that you can watch these two go at it. But this week, we're actually going to be talking about him against Mike Evans or possibly DeSean Jackson. We're not sure where he's going to be yet on either guy. If he's going to be on the outside, on the inside, but I think he matches up well against either guy, Wobby.
Yeah, I think he does too, and obviously everyone wants to see the Rhodes-Evans matchup, but you know, Evans can line up anywhere. We actually had Bursich break that down too on this week's episode of Vikings Game Plan. He can line up in the slot. He can line up wide left, wide right. He can run posts. He can run flags. He can run screens. He can run nine routes. He can do all those things. So what's going to be really interesting is, does Rhodes shadow Evans everywhere he goes, including in the slot, which we haven't seen a ton of from Rhodes? Or if Evans goes in the slot, will the Vikings keep Rhodes on the outside? Then who covers him in the slot? Is it Newman or is it Alexander? Is it Tremaine Brock? And then do they shadow D-Jax, DeSean Jackson, with Rhodes, or do they just have Rhodes play aside? So really interesting chess match. This is the game within the game for NFL teams. Dirk Cutter is their head coach. He's also, you know, he's an offensive-minded head coach, so he's sort of their coordinator. So this will be a great chess match between Dirk Cutter, Bucs head coach, and Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, who's obviously defensive-minded. So really excited to watch this chess match unfold on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. And the last storyline of your five storylines is we're back at home, and that's good. That's good to see. We're back at U.S. Bank Stadium, and we're going to be playing a lot of games at U.S. Bank Stadium in the next five games. Wobby, what do you got for me there?
Yeah, the big deal with this is that we're going to play four of our next five at home, which means when we're done with that, we're going to have 63% of our home schedule behind us, which means six of our last nine games on the road. So we have to make hay at home right now, and no one's going to feel sorry for us because we don't know who's going to play quarterback. That doesn't matter. You have to win your home game. The home games are against the Bucs, the Lions, the Packers, and the Ravens. So the Vikings are going to have to make some hay at home here over the next 5 weeks before they go onto the road so that they build up a cushion and they build up confidence when they go on the road, a road trip that includes a game at London and three road games in a row later in the season. So this is a key stretch for the Vikings coming up in the next 5 weeks.
That's for sure. A lot of those games are against tough opponents, too, on the road. We have one in Atlanta and a new stadium that we saw just on Sunday Night Football, which looks like it gets loud, like U.S. Bank Stadium. So it will be big for the Vikings to get out and get a bunch of wins under their belt at home. All right, that'll do it for the five storylines, and we'll be right back with the Know Your Enemy segment.
All right, time to get to know your opponent, know your enemy. Let's start with Jameis Winston, Chris. Third season, number one overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. The guy can throw the ball all over the field, got a ton of charisma. Nice quarterback here.
Well, at Florida State, one thing he was known for was that big arm. And in his first two seasons in the NFL, over 4,000 yards. That's pretty impressive as a young quarterback. The one thing that we do have to note is he's prone to interceptions and definitely on the road as well. He completed 18 of 30 passes for 204 yards and a touchdown against the Bears. Mm-hmm. So he was very impressive there.
Yeah.
That's against the Chicago defense. Not on our level defensively, but we do have to note that he had a good week one.
Yep, he did. And that was in week two.
Week two, yes.
Their first game, because their real first game against the Dolphins was postponed because of Irma. That's story for another day. All right, his targets. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brate, and O.J. Howard. What are you thinking with those four guys, Chris?
Well, this was one big thing for this team this offseason. They picked up DeSean Jackson as a free agent, obviously a veteran, his 10th season in the NFL. He's had over 1,000 receiving yards in five of his first nine seasons. That is a nice second target to have behind one of the best wide receivers in the league, and that's Mike Evans. Mike Evans had 93 yards and one big touchdown for Tampa Bay in that win over the Bears. And last year, wow, he had some season, 12 touchdowns, over 1,300 yards. He's the guy that Jameis is going to go to, definitely deep on the outside as well as the slot, like you said.
Mike Evans, Chris, these are his rankings last year in the NFL. First in targets, first in receptions for first downs, tied for second in touchdown catches, fourth in yards, and sixth in catches.
Wow.
So, I mean, even if Rhodes is on him and in his hip pocket every step of the way on Sunday, Jameis is throwing Mike Evans the ball still.
That's for sure. He trusts him. He's going to throw that ball up.
The two tight ends, Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard. What do you got on them?
Well, a lot of people look at O.J. Howard as the 19th overall pick in the first round for the Buccaneers this year, but don't forget about Cameron Brate. Brate had 8 touchdowns last season, which led the entire NFL for NFL tight ends. That is an impressive stat, especially with a young quarterback. To develop that kind of chemistry with a young quarterback, that is pretty impressive. And one thing you might not know about Cameron Brate, he was in Vikings rookie minicamp in 2014.
Yep.
And guess who was there with him as a walk-on? That's Adam Thielen, wide receiver.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
He actually noted this week, Cameron Brate, that he's been following Thielen's career.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
because,
pretty cool.
Because they're both kind of in the same boat when it comes to being a walk-on tryout.
All right, running backs. Doug Martin still suspended. Yes, that's good for us. But Jaquizz Rodgers, he scored last week.
He did. Jaquizz Rodgers had 67 yards and one touchdown. The score was big for him. To look at him last year, he had 560 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a limited 10 games, playing kind of behind Doug Martin as he battled through some injuries. He did spend his first 4 seasons in a great offense with the Atlanta Falcons, so he does have some ability to break out for a big play, definitely in a dynamic offense, so watch out for Rodgers.
Yeah, their running backs are not what they could be if Doug Martin was there, but they're good enough, especially with those really talented receivers that Chris has already talked about. Lastly, matchup of the week is not Mike Evans against Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah.
According to you, Chris, you have a different one, and I like it.
I didn't want to go Rhodes again. We went Rhodes last week against Antonio Brown, and yes, Rhodes impressed. We do see that as a big matchup this week, but I'm looking on the interior, and that's against Gerald McCoy, who has been an absolute stud for the Buccaneers. 33.5 sacks in his last 4 seasons with the Buccaneers, and he's going against a rookie in Pat Elflein in the middle there as the Vikings center, and then you also have Nick Easton as a guard there who's very new to the guard position. So I'll be watching the interior. Definitely against the run, but also in pass protection as we have Case Keenum or Sam Bradford under center.
That's right. All righty. Let's go to the next segment, one that I'm not very good at.
All right. We're back with our over-under segment, and this is always a big one. We like to debate a couple things about the opponent going forward and about our team. So we're starting out with number one, Jameis Winston. He's a quarterback who has been known to throw the interception here and there. He's playing at U.S. Bank Stadium where the crowd is going to be loud. Wobby, over or under one interception.
Oh, this is such an interesting number because you're not putting a .5 in there. Nope. So if you take the under, you do not lose if there are zero or one. To win this, if you take over to win this, you need multiple. Jameis, this will be his second game, so we don't have a ton of sample size for the season. Obviously, he looked really good last week. The Vikings have yet to create a turnover.
That's right.
I think we're going to get some turnovers in this game, and I think we're going to be winning in the fourth quarter, which means I think they're going to be throwing in the fourth quarter. I've always thought, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, but turnovers come in bunches, and turnovers are a function of playing good defense. You don't play good defense because you're turning them over. You get turnovers because you've been playing good defense. The Vikings have been playing good defense. They're going to get two picks of Jameis Winston on Sunday.
I agree, Wobby. I'm going with two. I see U.S. Bank Stadium crowd. I see the Skol chant. I see Xavier Rhodes. We know that Jameis is still going to target Mike Evans, even if Xavier Rhodes is right on top of him, which he was with Antonio Brown for a majority of the game there. So I'm going over. I like the over.
All right.
All right, we're moving on to number two. And we did have one sack last week. Everson Griffin sacked Big Ben on a spin move, which was good to see. We're going under, over, 1.5 sacks for the Vikings defense.
Over. I'm going over on this one as well. Everson Griffin's engine is hot right now, 3 sacks in 2 games. They're going to start throwing him a little bit more attention. That's going to free up Tom Johnson and Danielle Hunter. We haven't blitzed or pressured a lot yet either, and I think that's coming eventually, and maybe a home game is where it happens. So I'm feeling very bullish on the Vikings defense so far in over-unders, and it's not a disrespectful thing to the Bucs offense, an offense that can really throw the ball around and score some points, but I really like how our defense is playing right now, so I'm over on 1.5 sacks for the Vikings defense.
Zimmer did note that he wants to be aggressive going forward, but I think he's going to be aggressive on defense as well. I'm going over as well on this one. I just see a rookie, not a young quarterback in Jameis Winston, and I see the Vikings defense pressuring, and I see Danielle Hunter getting his first sack of the season this
weekend.
There
we go. Yeah. I mean, the guy had 12.5 last year.
He's due.
You know, he is due, and I know teams are giving him a little bit more attention than they did last year because they're seeing those 12.5 sacks on tape. So I'm not, you know, surprised or worried about Danielle Hunter having 0 sacks. I think Everson Griffin having 3 is awesome, and I think more are coming.
All right, and the next one, Vikings offensive plays for over 20 yards. So the offensive play has to be over 20 yards. We're going under or over 2.5.
Over. Man, I'm bullish on these Vikings this year. I'm over on all 3, and they're all good for the Vikings. I think Dalvin Cook could have 2 by himself. And if Bradford plays, we saw what he did at US Bank Stadium last time. Granted, against the worst Saints defense than what we're going to see against the Buccaneers. But I love the play design and the play calling. I think Pat Shurmur is on a roll right now. Obviously, Bradford is on a roll. And I think Keenum, having a game under his belt and a full week to prep for the Bucs defense, I think he can generate some explosive plays through the air. So I'm over on plays of 20 or more yards at 2.5 by the Vikings, and I can't wait to watch it.
Wow, yes. We're all positive this week because right. I'm going over as well. I don't care if it's Case Keenum, Sam Bradford. I think being at home, Case Keenum getting 1 start under his belt with the Vikings, he threw for 19,000 yards in college. I see something coming back definitely at home with his home crowd behind him if he's the one to start the game. So we're all in on the Vikings this week.
Over.
Oh, yeah, that's right, which we like. So, all right, so we'll be back in a few with Wobby's mailbag segment. All right, we're back with Wobby's mailbag. Wobby gets questions every week, and we're answering 3 of them for you here on the Wobcast. So the first one is from Sean Harrell from Illinois. As a Hawkeyes fan, as well as the Vikes, I love Jahlil Johnson coming out of college with such high praise of him during the offseason program. Why has he been inactive? Is he hurt? Thank you. Go Vikes, he says.
All right. Nope.
to my knowledge, he's not hurt, and nothing is wrong with him, and the team's not disappointed in him. It's just we are loaded along the defensive line, and we have both starters from last season at D-tackle returning. The starters were mostly Linval Joseph, of course, and Shamar Stephan, but we also have Tom Johnson returning. So I don't think that Jahlil Johnson not playing is any sort of knock on him or any sort of regression from a great preseason. I just think it's a numbers game right now. He's a young player, and we have a very veteran defense. So nothing to worry about with Jahlil. He will get his turn in time, and when he gets his turn, he will be ready.
All right, next question from Jeff Kilty. He's being positive, which I like to see.
Okay.
Despite the obvious negatives, how about this? Vikings committed no turnovers against a very good defense in the Steelers. That's a huge stat and an emblem of disciplined, well-coached team and a trend that must continue in the future games. Losing sucks. Nonetheless, an early season road loss against a top AFC team is probably the most palatable loss possible, especially when the two other teams in the division lose. Skull, says Jeff.
All right. My man is on the right track. We did turn the ball over. Thielen had a fumble that he lost. That's at the right. end. The game was already over. Yep. It was an inconsequential turnover. It still counts. But he's right. We basically didn't turn the ball over, even against the Steelers on the road, which is good. So if you're looking for things to pull away from the game that were good, that is certainly one of them. But we need to do a lot more good things against the Bucs if we want to beat them. With all due respect to the Saints, the Bucs are not going to sleepwalk in here, and we're not going to put up 29 points without thinking about it against the Bucs.
That's for sure.
As easily as we were able to do it against the Saints. You saw what the Patriots did to the Saints last
week,
too.
Three touchdowns for Brady
in the first quarter.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is a stiffer challenge. The Bucs on defense are more Steelers than they are Saints. So the challenge is steep, but I think we can do it, especially playing at home. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. We want to thank Dalvin Cook for joining. We want to thank you guys for listening. We want to encourage you to stay tuned to Vikings.com, the Vikings app, and all the Vikings social media platforms. That is the best way to get exclusive Vikings content, content about your favorite NFL team. It's a big weekend for the Minnesota Vikings. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The game is at noon on Sunday. Watch the game on television locally. It's on Channel 9. Nationally, it's on whatever channel Fox is on for you. Catch the game, of course, on the Vikings Radio Network, where voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, will have the play-by-play. Pete Bursich will be in the booth with him analyzing, and we'll have former Vikings Greg Coleman and Ben Lieber on the sideline providing reports from there. On behalf of Wobcast producer Chris Corso, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now. We'll talk to you guys later. Yeah.